praise, standing together tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Again, I want to say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have visitor with us tonight. And good to see you. And probably what I'm going to preach tonight, some of you've probably heard it 1,700 times. Maybe not quite that many. It used to bother me about preaching the same message over. But I learned a long time ago, when you want to preach on a thought and you got something already on it, and it worked one time, it ought to work again. And then I heard Brother Ronnie Simpson got ready to preach one Sunday morning here on the station. He was preaching at his church, and he told the people he was going to preach on a message that he had preached already 205 times in his ministry. And so it don't bother me to preach them two or three times. Surely I can preach two or three times. He can preach them 200 times. Amen. And, you know, if they work once, generally they work again. Because, you know, one reason being, we're leaky vessels. And we got to stay full somehow, some way. If you just sit down and do nothing, I'll guarantee you everything that's ever been put into you spiritually will just run out.
Yes, sir.
And you'll wind up sitting there, a carnal, worldly Christian.
Amen.
Fit for nothing for God.
Amen.
But I tell you, you got to keep filling that cup up. Amen. All right. Song of Solomon and chapter number 5 tonight, please. Song of Solomon chapter number 5. And I want to begin reading in verse number 2. You've got this book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah in that order. And I want to begin reading tonight out of chapter 5 of Solomon and verse number 2. The Bible said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, this is the bride speaking, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh, upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's look to him in a moment of prayer tonight and ask God's help. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the evening service, for the songs that we've sang. Lord, just for hearing the testimonies, what a blessing to hear the people of the Lord say so, to tell the story of how they were saved and rejoice in what Christ has done in their life. I rejoice with them, for the Bible said we're to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now I pray that you'll help us tonight, that you'll empower us with the Spirit of God. Bless us, Lord, as only you can. Reach down an omnipotent hand of mercy and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I pray, Lord, that you'll comfort and bless and help the people of God tonight. Strengthen the weak. Give grace to the feeble. I pray you'll help Brother Hall. I stand in your need. I pray you'll fill me with the Spirit of God. Anoint me with that fresh oil and give me the liberty, the power, and the grace to preach what you've laid upon my heart for this night. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. I want to preach to you out of these scriptures for a little while tonight on the thought of the withdrawal of the groom. You know, this morning I spoke on the fact that how the Lord departed from Hezekiah for a certain period of time, that Hezekiah may see what was in his own heart. The Bible said that he withdrew himself that he might try him. And there's never a time when the Lord does so that he is not doing it to try you and I or to bless us with some spiritual grace and to show and bestow his goodness upon us. Now here in Solomon chapter number 5, I want to begin by simply saying, and what you already know, that the Song of Solomon is a story of romance and love. It's a story about Solomon and his lovely bride, but it portrays the intimate relationship of the bride to the groom. Solomon, of course, being the groom and then the bride. But also, Solomon here is a type of the church. The bride is a type of the church, and Solomon is a type of the Lord. And the Bible said in Ephesians 5:25 that Christ loved the church and that he gave himself for it. Now that's a marvel, that he loved the church and gave himself for it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're sitting in an assembly tonight that we can honestly say that the Lord loves this body of believers. He loved us so much that he gave himself for us. Now, if you want to include the body of Christ or the church into all that's ever been saved into that big invisible body, that is your business. But I'm going to tell you, when you bring it down to a smaller scale like it is tonight and say that Christ died for the church, and you're talking about this small assembly of believers, I believe you'll find it a little more endearing to your heart and that will bless you a great deal more to know that Christ died for this little assembly. This little body of believers right here tonight, Christ died for you and I. Now that is a marvel when you stop and think about that, how he laid down his life for sinners like you and I. And we should love him because he first loved us. That's what John said. Christ loved us and gave his life for us. And therefore, we ought to love him because he first loved us. Now, the love that is magnified here in the Song of Solomon is so glorious, it's holy, it's pure, and so holy and pure and glorious that it cannot be broken. Notice what the Bible said in chapter 8 and verse number 7. Solomon said, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for it, it would utterly be contemned." So waters cannot quench love, and neither can floods drown it. In other words, it is a bind that will stand and last for all time and eternity. Love will. Love is a cord that binds us together. Love is the cord that binds us together as children of God. Love is the cord that binds us together with Christ. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And because Christ loved the church, we are to love him. And because he loves us and we love him, we are to love one another. And because he loved us and we loved him and we love one another, we're also to love our enemies, is what the Bible says. And that is a marvelous love indeed. And so the love of God here cannot be broken. In fact, Brother Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35, he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now, he's not talking about Christ's love dying out for us. He's talking about our love dying out for Christ. Christ will always love us. There's no question about that. But he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" That is in Romans chapter number 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he named 17 things there that have no power to separate you and I from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people in our society, in our churches, that believe that Christ can love them, and yet they can die and go to hell. But I want to say, if Christ loves you, and if you have ever loved him and been born again, there is no possibility of that. Because it is a love that cannot be separated. Folks, that's why I'm a stickler on marriage. I believe that folks that get married, they ought to tie the knot, tie it good and tight, and plan on staying that way. And I'm not degrading people that have went down the road of divorce. God knows my heart, I'm not doing that. But I will say that it's best for you to stay together. It's best for you to stay married. It'll bring hardships upon you and upon your children. Divorces will. And I don't think Christ ever intended it to be that way. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The church loves Christ, and therefore he formed a bond that floods cannot quench and waters cannot drown, and it's bound together by love's strong cord, and it's going to stay that way through all eternity. And husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And if we do that, there ought to be a bind there between us, a bond that cannot be broken. Love is something that cannot be separated. Amen. Come on in the house now. Say amen. Say amen. This love is so intense that it will never fade away. Never fade away. But it'll rather burn forever like a glowing ember within our hearts. There is no power in heaven nor on earth that can sever the love of the groom and his lovely bride. They are prepared to live together, and they are prepared to die together. I want to say that again. They're prepared to live together, and they're prepared to die together. Because Christ has already died for us. And if you ever get saved by the marvelous grace of God, you're going to have to be crucified and die to self, or you're not going to make it to heaven. There is a love there. They're prepared to live together, love one another, and live together for all time and eternity. I've told this story before, but I think it'd be good to tell it again tonight. There was a man by the name of Philip Bliss, 28 years old. Philip Bliss put the music to the words of "It Is Well With My Soul." A young man had just been married, and him and his wife was on their way to a meeting, riding a train. That train derailed and caught a fire. And his wife was pinned in that train, and there was no way of getting that woman out of that fire and off of that train. And Philip Bliss sat down beside her, and under her pleadings with him to get up and leave, he sat down beside her. He said, "No, God put us together to live together, and God put us together to die together." And there Philip Bliss and his wife died together in the flames of that train. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that God put us together with Christ. And we have died together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no power on earth and no power in heaven or no power under the earth that can separate us from that love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. Amen. There's a real love affair going on between Christ and His church. And it's no better place to find that love affair than in the Song of Solomon. Now, I've been around preachers that have read and preached some of this and made it somewhat vulgar, but there's nothing vulgar about it. There's nothing vulgar about a man loving a woman. And there's certainly nothing vulgar about Christ loving His church. Amen. Now, somebody said, "Well, there's men in the church. How does He love us? Same way He does a woman." Amen. In heaven, there ain't going to be no marriage. It's going to be like the angels. There ain't going to be no marriage and giving in marriage. It'll be like the angels when we get there. Say amen right there. Christ can love us and does love us. Amen. Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful love. And they're prepared to die together. Now, here in the text that I just read, we find the bride, the church, if I can say so. And she's got in one of her sleepy moods. The church does that occasionally, you know. We go through periods when we get just a little dull-minded and our hearts get a little weak and we grow a little tired on the Lord and we want to sleep. We want to go to sleep. Well, the Lord has been out all night long and He's got dew in His hair. He's got His hair is wet. His locks are full of dew. And there's a lot of preachers that believe that that verse can be referenced to the last night the Lord spent upon this earth before He was crucified. He was found in the garden all night long, in prayer, may I say, for you and for me and for all others that will be saved by the grace of God. Thank God that is exactly right. But hey, when He died on Calvary, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as did receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. But he died knowing all along that out of that death, he was not only going to pay the sin debt for Old Testament saints, but he was also going to die for you and I in the New Testament and call himself out a bride for himself. Amen. And he spent the night out there in prayer in that garden, and his sweat became as drops of blood that he might redeem our soul from the depths of sin and depravity and degradation. I want to thank him for doing that. Somebody say amen. But we find the bride asleep. And he knocks. And she said, well, it's the voice of my beloved that knocketh. But the Bible said that she's asleep, but her heart's awake. And she said, it's the voice. It's the voice of my beloved. But as he calls to her, her response is, I've put off my coat, and how can I put it on again? And I've washed my feet, and how shall I defile them? In other words, she didn't want to get up out of that bed. Isn't that like a bunch of Baptists?
Amen.
They don't really want to get out of the bed. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, the bed is comfortable. Amen. But the spiritual bed of ease is even more comfortable. We can get in that spiritual mode, in that spiritual bed of ease. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. It is difficult to get a Baptist out of it. Well, once we find ourselves lazy and in that bed of complacency and laid back and settled in on our leaves, I'm telling you, it is a difficult thing to get a child of God out of that sleepy, lazy condition that they can find themselves in. Oh, but marvelous grace. The Bible said the Lord put his hand through that hole by the lock and the door. And at that time, he put myrrh, drops of sweet-smelling myrrh, upon that door handle. And when that bride got a smell of the odor of that myrrh, oh, she said, this is more than I can bear. And when she saw his hand and knew that he longed to be with her, you realize tonight that Christ longs. He longs to be with his bride. He longs for the trumpet to sound and for you and I to be caught out of this world into his presence. Because he loves us so much, he died for us. He longs for that day. And I'm going to tell you, when he put his hand in that hole with the lock, it was more than what her heart could stand. And the Bible, she said, and my bowels were moved for him. Now, don't try to make a funny joke out of that. That's talking about her inmost affection, her very heart's being, her soul, reached out to him. It was moved. It was moved for him. And she arose to open the door. But to her surprise, when she opened the door, she found that he had withdrawn himself and was gone. Oh, that leads me to say this. Just like chapter number 3 in the book of the Revelation. If you ever hear the Lord standing at the door knocking, friend, you better get up and open that door. He said, if any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Now, I've got news for you. John 3:20 or Revelation 3:20 is not talking about salvation. Because there ain't no sinner can open the door. No, sir. The Lord is the door. He opens the door and he shuts the door. But I'm going to tell you, this is the door of fellowship. If any man will get up and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. But she was so tired and weary and sleepy and lazy that she failed to awaken and open that door. And I'm going to tell you something. She finally opened it, but it was too late. The Bible said that her beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And she done what any good Baptist ought to do. The Bible said she said, my soul failed when he spake. In verse 6, she said, I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall of the walls took me away and took away my veil from me. And she said, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. You know what she did? When she realized that he was gone, she done what any ordinary Christian would do. She got up and went after him. Oh, Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, that's what we, Brother Whitlow preached on it on the other night, and I'm telling you, that's exactly what we need to do as a church is get up and get after Him. Seek after Him while He can be found. Look for the Lord. Hallelujah. He can be found of us, ladies and gentlemen. Better believe we can. Yes, sir. The Lord can be found. I want to ask you something. Why does He increase? Why does He withdraw Himself from us? There's a reason. The main reason is that it always tries us. He's always trying us. And when He withdraws Himself, He wants to see if we really love Him or not. She proved here that she loved Him. Although she was sleepy and complacent, when that hand come through that hole and that myrrh dropped on that handle, she was moved on the inside for Him. Her heart was moved and stirred. That's right. And when she got up and saw that He was gone, she didn't waste a minute's time, not 1 minute, but she went out to seek her Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Isn't that what the Lord told us in the book of Matthew? Ask and you shall receive. What's the next word? Seek and you shall find. Hallelujah! And then you know truer words were ever spoken. God's given us that promise that if He makes His withdrawal or His departure from us, if we will seek for Him and search for Him, He can be found of us, ladies and gentlemen. Better believe that. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Now, why did He withdraw Himself from her? Well, I say number one, and I'm trying to hold her down tonight. Number one, to increase our faith. That's right. He wants to increase our faith. You see, faith is not handed to us on a golden platter. I heard Larry Raine say this years ago, and I thought about it, and it's so true. He said, faith is like film. It's developed in a dark room. And that's true. If the light was always on, then we'd always have light of the way. It wouldn't take faith to walk and find it with the Lord. But every now and then those lights go out, and it's like one writer said I read about years ago. He said, our faith is like a finger in the dark. Faith is like a finger in the dark, groping in the dark, not knowing exactly where it's at, but it does know what it's looking for. And it does know who it's reaching out to. Somewhere in that darkness where He's withdrawn Himself is the Lord, and I'm telling you, He can be found, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, and our faith, it'll increase our faith. It'll increase our faith to seek after the Lord. That's right. Somebody, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody that don't look for God, they'll never find Him. And I'll say this. If you never look for the Lord, I doubt that He's ever found you. But oh, how it will increase our faith to begin to look and seek after the Lord. She did not tarry too long in His absence, but immediately sets forth to find Him. She sought Him. She looked for Him. I want to ask you this. How long did it take Elijah? Is it Elijah? No. Somebody help me. Not Elijah. Elisha. I wanted to call him Elias. Elisha. When Elijah took that mantle and smote the waters of the Jordan, and the waters parted hither and thither, and him and Elias went across, him and Elisha went across on dry land. When they started back after Elijah had been taken up in a chariot of fire, hey, in a whirlwind, Elisha took that mantle and smote those waters. And you know what he said? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? In other words, he set out to seek the same God that Elijah was serving. I'm going to tell you, in doing so, he got a double portion of that. Amen. He said, Elijah said, what do you want if you see me? He said, I want a double portion of what you got, Elijah. And he said, that's a hard thing. But if you see me when I'm going up, you'll get it. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, he would not leave Elijah until he was taken up. And when he smote those waters, he got a double portion of what old Elijah had. He went across. He went out. That's right. When he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He began to look for Him. That's right. He began to seek Him. Now, where do you think the Lord's at tonight? I'm just quickly running by these. May I say, for a lost person, He's where. And by the way, He's where He's always been. He hadn't went anywhere. I read a sign. Many of you have heard this a number of times. I read a sign up in Louisville, Kentucky years ago. It's on a Baptist church up there. I don't have no idea what kind of church it was, but on the marquee on out on the sign, it said, God seemed far away. Guess who moved? He
hadn't went anywhere.
Amen.
He is right where He has always been.
Yes.
Somebody said, oh, you just said He had withdrawn Himself. Oh, yeah, but standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Him. He's always looking on. His eye is on the sparrow. And He watches over you and me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And He'll never get too far from us that He cannot come to our aid immediately when He has to. Just like old disciples out on the sea rowing and toiling, the waves and the wind, and couldn't find their way, and the ship was taking on water, and there come Jesus walking on the water. Woo! Right in the nick of time came Jesus walking on that water. He's always on time. Amen. He's always in time, and it's always the right time. Now I'm telling you, He'll show up again. As sure as you and I are here tonight, He'll show up again right here in His time. He will show up again.
Amen.
If we'll look for Him, we'll find Him. Now listen carefully. Now I'm going to say this. For a lost person, He's right where He's always been. He's still on the tree. Now I know that Christ is not, that the Cadillacs that show Him still on the tree, He's not on the cross. And I'm going to tell you, if a sinner ever gets saved, that's where they're going to have to go.
Amen.
At the cross where I first saw the light.
Amen.
You will not get saved anywhere else, and there's no room at the cross. There's room at the cross only for you and Him.
Amen.
That old song, I love it. I used to play it all the time. There's room at the cross for you.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, friend, if you're here tonight lost, there is room at the cross for you.
Amen.
He's never turned one away.
I'll
tell you, a sinner that comes and kneels at the foot of the cross and humbles himself and looks up into the lovely face of the Lord Jesus and hears those wonderful words, hey, where are those thine accusers? I have none, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a wonderful, oh, what a wonderful thought it is to hear Him say, thy sins are forgiven thee. I'm telling you, no sweeter words ever fell on the ears of mortal man than to hear Christ say, your sins are gone. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. He's still on the cross, sinner. Somebody said, well, there ain't many people getting saved today. That's because they don't want to. He never turned one away. Show me one He ever turned away. Not one. No, not one has He ever turned away. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Praise God, I'm telling you, He's right there. Up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior weary and worn. There on the cross bleeding for sinners, bearing His own cross to die upon it.
Amen.
He died upon Calvary's cross and then told you and I, if you'll be my disciple, take up your own cross and come after me.
Amen.
Oh, and I'm, hey, that's looking for Him. Take up your own cross and come after me, He said.
Amen.
Or you cannot be my disciple. No cross and no crown. It's just that simple. I want to say to you and I that are saved, He's still on the throne. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Thank God, I'm glad. He's never, hey, any time I've went to the throne, He's always been there.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm telling you, since the veil's been rent in twain, there's been a way made into the throne room of God's grace where you and I can go and find mercy and grace to help us in a time of need. And by the way, He's there right now to make intercession for you and I. He's there, thank God. He's at the on the throne. He sure is. That's right. He's also, I want to say, He's in the temple. Somebody said, well, the church sure is in bad shape. No, it's not. Church ain't that bad a shape.
Amen.
Oh, we're dead. We're dry.
Amen.
But you know the bottom line of it is the majority of us faithful.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. You listen to what I'm saying? That is the bottom line.
Amen.
We don't always have to jump the pews. I'm telling you, everybody's going through this season.
Amen.
And if you read chapter 13 of the book of Psalms, David in there asked four times, he said, how long? How long? How long? How long? Four times he asked how long. And every time it's in reference to how long God will be gone from him. How long will you do this? How long will you do that? How long will you do this? All four times. But I'm going to tell you, in the end, he showed up. Amen to God. Now I'm going to tell you, in the end,
In the end, He's going to show up. We might have to live in these dark times until the trumpet sounds, but praise God, we got a blessed hope that it is going to sound, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not hoping so. Bless God, I know so. I've got a blessed hope, but I've got a no-so hope that trumpet is going to sound. Amen. Yes, sir. He's coming again, ready or not. Amen. He's coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Jesus is coming again. Amen to the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's right. And He's still in His church. He never left His church. May I say to you tonight, He's still in the tempest. I got to hurry. Somebody said, you don't know my storm. I don't have to know your storm. I know mine. And there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Oh, I'm going through something ain't nobody else gone through. Oh, come on now. You know better than that. The Lord said there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But the Lord is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Thanks be unto God. I'm telling you, He's still riding in the storm. I don't know what kind of trouble you're having. You may be having family trouble, wife trouble, husband trouble, children trouble, money trouble. I don't know what kind of trouble you may have, but I'm telling you, He'll ride the storm with you.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. He'll ride the ups and downs. And I'm telling you, in a storm, there's ups and there's downs. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
A lot of people think that in the storm, it's always down. No, 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 no. Them waves come up just as well as they go down. Now, I'm telling you that storm, I tell you what that storm does. It'll give you a false hope. It'll bring you up here and all once. It'll just drop the bucket out of you and that wave will bring you right back down. There's ups and downs, but I'm going to tell you something. He's on the ups and He's on the downs. He's on the ins and He's on the outs. Amen. He's on the tops and He's on the bottoms. He's all the way around. Thank God. He's always near. Amen. I feel about half saved, Brother Jerome. Praise God, I am too, but I said I feel it tonight. You always feel saved? I don't. I'm not going to lie. Now, where do you find the Lord? I've got to hurry. Number one, you seek Him in the privacy of your own heart. Deuteronomy 4:29 said, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Look for Him down in your heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm going to tell you, if you look for Him, you know where He's at? Sometimes when you can't find Him, He's down in the darkest corner of your heart and He's down there trying to shove that old darkness out and fill it full of His glorious light. Thank God, that's right. And one day, He'll fill our hearts completely full of the light of God. Amen. That's right. Search for Him in your heart. Seek for Him. Look for Him in there. You'll find Him in there. I'll say number two. Seek for Him on the pages of the Bible. Not only in the privacy of your heart. Seek for Him in the pages of the Bible. The Lord said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures. What? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which what? Testify of me. I'm going to tell you where to find Him. He's right here in this book. You can find Him. As the old preacher said, He's from kibber to kibber. He's from kibber to kibber. You'll find Him in this Bible. Thank God. By the way, this Bible is God's revelation of Himself to man. This Bible is God's revelation of His Son to man. This Bible is God's revelation of His salvation to man. This Bible is God's way of pointing man, amen, to Calvary, that he might be saved and escape the torments of hell. God's not willing for you to go to hell. He didn't create hell for you. He created it for the devil and his angel. That's right. But you can find Him on the pages of this book, friend.
Amen.
I'm telling you. He's in so many different types that it amazed me. I've heard men say they believe that Adam was lost. I said, well, I got studying that one day and I said, if he was, then typology fails. Because God brought the coats of skins and clothed Adam and Eve. And he never did that until they clothed themselves with fig leaves. And the reason they clothed themselves with fig leaves, they recognized they were sinners. And no man will ever be clothed in the righteousness of Christ or bathed in the blood of Christ till he realizes he's a sinner.
Amen. That's right.
They put them fig leaves. And by the way, Adam didn't jump out there and say, "Here I am, Lord, naked and a pig jaybird." Adam, where are you at? "Lord, we're over here behind this tree." "What are you doing behind the tree?" "We're naked." "How do you know you're naked? Have you eaten of that fruit that I told you not to eat of that tree out there?" "That woman." "Woman, what have you done?" "Serpent." He didn't have nowhere to run to. He had to tell her all. He didn't have nowhere to go. He had to stand there and say, "Yes, Lord." Guilty.
Yes,
devil is guilty.
Amen.
And the woman was in deception, I'm telling you. But we're talking about Brother Christ and the bride and the groom. But I'm telling you that Adam loved her so much that he stepped over into sin where she was to be with his bride, ladies and gentlemen. But he had a problem he couldn't get back. But when Christ died on Calvary and stepped into sin and took sin upon you and I, he had the power to step back again.
Amen.
Woo! Amen! That's right. Thank God.
Amen.
That's right. You can find him in this book. He's there. That's just one little place. Seek him in the Scriptures. Now, I won't say you ought to seek him in the preaching of the Word. Yes, sir. That Bible says, Titus 1:1-3, Paul said, "Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in his due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." I'll never forget tonight, the morning I was saved. Now I'll never forget tonight I was called to preach. God spoke to me through the preaching of the Word of God. I'm telling you, don't ever underestimate the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Yes, I'm telling you, you can look for him. I'm telling you, that night with Brother Nolan's, when God called me to preach, boy, it was just as clear and plain to me. I didn't have no doubt about it whatsoever, what God wanted me to do, and I arose quickly and got about God's business. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't delay. When God said it's time to go, I said, "Yay, Lord!" And I went, hallelujah to God, and I've never regretted it since. Ain't got a thing back there I want. Ain't got a thing back there I'm looking for. Come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm telling you, just like the Lord when he set his face to go to Jerusalem to die on Calvary's tree, I in like manner have set my face like a flint to preach the gospel of Christ and go to wherever he may call me to go to carry the word of God. I'm telling you, I had a little nudging the other day, but I'm telling you, I don't think I could handle it. Heard them fellas talking in there on IRN, Larry and Chuck. Chuck doing most of the talking. And I don't think Larry's there much anymore. But they had a fella, they were talking about a fella that was a missionary in Vietnam. And that man said they were having literally hundreds and thousands of people turning out to hear him preach the gospel. He said, "It's amazing. I never dreamed when I came over here." He said, "They've let me into the country. They've given me the right to preach to wherever I want to preach." And he said, "I've been preaching to thousands of people." And I thought, oh my soul, there's a country that I fought in. Saw American blood shed there. Men, boys died there. And now those very, what do you call them? Posterity? Is that the word or is that backwards? Well, I got it wrong. But anyway, the children and grandchildren, the people that was there when I was there, they're now listening to the gospel. And some of them are being saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you there for a minute, I thought, "Lord, I sure would like to tell some of them about Jesus. I really would. I mean that." But I'm going to tell you what my doctor down there said. Said, "You'd go over there and start right back in where you left off, and that would not be good for you to go."
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, that killed that right there. But it thrills my soul to know that somebody is hearing the gospel.
Amen.
You know, hey, you know what they're hearing? They're hearing the word. You know how they're hearing the word? It's being manifested. It's being unveiled. It's being revealed.
The knowledge of the truth of this book is revealed through the preaching of the Word, through men that's called, God called, God anointed men standing up and preaching.
Amen.
That's right. It's fallen on hearts. Men hearts. And the Holy Ghost sprinkling it with water.
Amen.
Paul said, I sowed in Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Whoop-a-doo! Hey, hey, hey! That's all I can do is preach. Got any Apollos around here who want to throw a little water on? We'll watch God give the increase. Amen. That's right. I want to say secondly, not only did she seek Him, but she summoned Him. Notice in verse 6, she said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him. Lord!
Amen.
Solomon! Lord! Somebody said, you're crazy. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat, folks.
Amen.
Hey, she summoned him in prayer. She absolutely did. She called to him.
Amen.
I don't know how. Praying is calling on God.
Amen.
Pray. Did you hear what I said? Praying is calling upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible said in Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near.
Amen.
Like that day when the night when those disciples saw him walking on the water, they cried out and said, Lord, save us! You know what?
Amen.
He did.
Amen.
He did. Old Peter cried, Lord, save me, and he did.
That's right.
Oh, yes, I'm telling you. You know why? Because he's always near. Jesus is never far away.
Yep.
Paul said that in chapter 17 of the book of 1 Corinthians when he was at Athens, or at Corinth. Athens it was. On Mars Hill. And he saw all those altars and one built to the unknown God. He said, that unknown God I want to talk to you about a little while, fellas. I want you to know a little bit about Him. I want to talk. That's right. Amen. But seek the Lord while it may be found. Psalm 32:6 says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. But I'm going to tell you, you summons Him by prayer. Number two, you summons Him in the perils. Notice what she did. The Bible said in verse 7, she said, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil. Took away her veil. She's the bride. They took away her veil from me. Now in chapter 3, he withdrew himself and she went after it. And the watchmen, the keepers of the wall, they helped her, and it wasn't long after she found them till she found the Lord. She hung on to Him, wouldn't let Him go. But here they treated her a little differently. This is the second time she's pulled this trick. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I think the Lord gets tired of our laziness and our complacency. And He may let us go through a few things that's not very comfortable for us to go through. But I want to ask something. She went out in the middle of the night. A woman alone in the middle of the night. She went out in the perils of the night looking for her Lord. Now I want to ask you this. Is not He worth hazarding our lives for? She literally hazarded her life for the Lord. In fact, Brother Paul said in Acts 20:22-24, he said, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. I don't hear. He don't said, I don't even count my life dear unto myself. What Paul is saying is, I'll gladly give my life in Jerusalem if that's what God wants out of me.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. Hey, He's worth hazarding our lives for, gentlemen. I could tell you some stories. What about those men that flew in down in the Amazon and was killed by those Anka Indians? They flew in there by airplane. Their airplane crashed in that river. And those Anka Indians killed those men. Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, and what was the other one's name?
Nate St. Jim Elliott, another one. Huh? Whoever's name, they killed him. And one of those men's wives, was it Saint's wife? Or was it Elliot's? It went back. Elliot's wife went back to those Indians that had killed her husband. No, and they had killed her husband. Showed pictures of them. We got a book that shows pictures of them floating in the water dead. They killed all those men. But she went back to them. And would you believe that she got to talking to the chief, the very man that killed her husband? She wasn't no narrow preacher, but she was a witness of the glorious gospel of Christ. And she led that wild native to the Lord. Amen. By the grace of God. Guess what? God called him to preach.
Amen.
You know what he did? That man that had killed her husband baptized her own child. Amen. Oh, somebody said, I wouldn't do that. She did.
Amen.
I'm telling you, her Lord was worth hazarding her life for.
Amen.
Basil Maloff was sentenced to Siberia for preaching the gospel in Russia. What's the fellow's name that died down in the Philippines, honey, that I like so well? Got his book over at the house, Let My People Go. Yeah, A.W. Tozer wrote the book. But it's about a missionary. And in World War II, he died in a Japanese concentration camp carrying the gospel to those people in Indonesia and in those islands. And the Japanese captured him, and he died in that concentration camp. Moffat? Huh? Robert Jaffrey. All of you, most of you never heard of him. Wonderful missionary, but he died. He gave his life for those people that God sent him to redeem.
Amen.
David Livingston died in Africa on his knees, giving his life for those people that God had sent him to preach to. Oh, I'm telling you, he is worth the peril of us hazarding our lives for, ladies and gentlemen. If he laid down his life for you and I, would it not behoove us to go out into the perils of the night season and seek the souls of men and women, boys and girls, and to seek the power of God to go with us to carry the gospel that they might be saved. Amen. When they took that veil off of her, she lost her appearance of a bride. Every bride wears a veil. She didn't look like a bride anymore. She looked like an ordinary sinner. I'm going to tell you, she wasn't worried about what she looked like. She had one thought in mind, and that was finding him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, do we have one thought in mind tonight? Are we in accord? And I'm not talking about this car, automobile accord. Are we in one accord?
Right.
That we need to find God? Oh, yes!
Amen.
We need to find him!
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, when we find him, we better hold on to him.
Amen.
Cleave unto the Lord. Don't let him go again.
Amen,
amen to God. Amen. I know that's right.
Amen.
Seek him. That's what he's got. Hey, God wants us to. Even if it costs us our life. That's right.
Amen.
Oh, boy, I'm having a hard time remembering names tonight. Guy that was in North Carolina, baby, that wrote all the books I got. We know his brother, son-in-law, and daughter. Well, I'll think of it in a minute. Sitting in a nursing home. And a fellow went in to visit him. He was sitting there with his head bowed, sitting in a little chair. The man started to back out, and he said, Brother Brown, you can come on in. The man said, Well, I thought you were sleeping. He said, No. He said, I don't have time to sleep. It's 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, I give 8 hours a day in prayer. He said, there's heathen on the foreign lands and missionaries trying to rescue them. How can I sleep when souls are going to hell? There's an old man on his deathbed and he's willing to pray 8 hours a day for souls that's dying and going to hell. Is our Lord not worth that to you and I tonight?
Amen.
To pray and seek his face.
Amen.
The souls of those that are dying and going to hell. I want to say, secondly, he not only increases our faith, but it blesses our hope I'll just mention this. She had already found him once in chapter number 3, verses 1 through 5. And if she found him once, she ought to have enough hope to find him the second time. Amen and amen. She went out looking for him. That's right. Lovers will faint away if they have not the sight of the object of their love. I went to Mexico a few years ago and Brother Steve went with me. And I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly stand it without Mrs. Hall. I had to see my wife. She is the object of my love here on this earth. And I had to see her. There was no question about that. Let me ask you this tonight. Have you lost sight of him? Have you lost sight of him? Do you not know the way that he's going? Do you not know where he's at tonight? Seek him!
Amen.
He wants you to find him. But he wants you to find him in such a way that it'll increase your faith and that it'll bless your hope knowing I found him once. Praise God, I found him again. I'm going to tell you, found him that second time. Your hope, it'll orbit out of sight. Praise God. It'll build your hope in Christ. You'll be able to charge hell with a water pistol, swing out over the devil's house, praise God, on a corn silk, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen to God. Then it proves our love. She said in verse 8, she said, I'm sick of love.
Amen.
Now, when we seek God, our Lord, it proves that we love Him. Sitting back on our tail end don't prove nothing to nobody.
Right.
Not to you or anybody else.
Right.
And the longer we stay where we're at, the more difficult it's going to be to get up.
Amen.
Now, can I ask you tonight, what is love? What is love? One man said it's a holy fire kindled in the affections whereby a Christian is carried out strongly after God as his supreme good. That love ought to carry us out to God and He being our supreme good, the blessing of our soul. Amen to God. It's a harlot. It's a harlot's love to love the portion more than the person. It's a harlot's love to love the portion more than the person. In other words, if all you love Him for is what He gives you, you don't have much love.
Amen.
We need to love Him for what He is and who He is, not what He gives us.
Amen.
I'm thankful for everything He gives, but that's not the object of my love. He is.
Amen.
All of His glory and beauty, He is. All of His power and all of His majesty. All of His beauty of His holiness. His grace. Hallelujah. That's right. His love and His mercy.
Amen.
He's wonderful. Mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. I go on. He's the door, the way, the truth, and the life of the resurrection.
Amen.
He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's everything tonight.
Amen.
He's enough to seek after. That's
Amen.
Right. I'm going to tell you, hypocrites love God because of what He gives them. But you and I love God for Himself and for those shining perfections which are in Him. As a creature, you and I may give other creatures the milk of our love, but God demands the cream.
Amen.
He ain't going to play second fiddle to nobody, folks.
Amen.
How many of you women in here hang on to the old man if he's out playing second fiddle with another woman? Not long. And, buddy, he ain't playing second fiddle to nobody.
Right.
You might give the milk, but I'm going to tell you the best of that milk's in the cream. And he wants your cream tonight.
Amen.
Amen. And you can prove that love, and he'll give you that. Hey, if you've got that kind of love, you'll go after him. Go after him. Don't just go after him. Apprehend him.
Amen.
Like Paul said in Philippians 3, apprehend him. If he's apprehended, you apprehend him.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Love is an industrious thing. It sets the head to studying for God. It sets the hands to working for God. And the feet running the ways of His commandments. It's an industrious thing. I'm done right here. Signs of love. What are some signs of loving Him? Well, one, we cannot find contentment in anything without Him. Lovers grieve together. I'm going to tell you, if you're contented in anything you do without Christ, you've got problems.
Amen.
We come out of those tents down there yesterday. Brother Gray said, Well, we didn't see no turkey. But he said, God sure give me a good outline while I was in there. And I'm sitting there thinking, and you know, here he's talking about God giving him an outline. He didn't have any, doesn't know a thing about it. But all the time I'm sitting over there thinking that he gave his life for me and I already give my life for him. I thought, how marvelous. I may not have got a turkey, but I sure did find the Lord. I'm telling you what, I'd rather have the Lord than all the turkeys in the world.
Amen.
Amen. I think, was it you or Jordan? That's why we haven't seen no turkeys around here. Jordan asked me. She asked her grandma, asked her grand Ducey last night, said, when will Poppy and Josh be home with the chicken? She asked me, I'll go, said, Poppy, I said, why don't we ever see any turkeys around here? I said, honey, come on over to church. There's a lot of us over there.
Yeah.
Isn't God wonderful? Hallelujah. I want to say also, we labor to render Him lovely to others. If we really love Him, we'll do all that we can to point others to the loveliness of Christ.
Amen.
We're willing to do and to suffer for Him. If we really love Him, we won't have any problem doing that. Y'all love your wife, don't you? Sure you do. Brother Ricky come in last Wednesday night. Somebody said, Brother Rick, how's vacation? He said, vacation? I ain't been on no vacation. I said, honeydews? He said, honeydews. We are willing to do. Honeydew.
Amen.
He looks down and said, honey, will you do? Sure I will, Lord. I'm willing to do it. You don't have to twist my arm. I'm willing to go for you. I'm willing to suffer for you. I'm ready to bear my cross for you.
Amen.
Amen. He who loves God hates that which separates us from Him, and that's sin. And he who loves God weeps bitterly over His absence. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to myself and the rest of us here tonight, that we all need to find us an altar.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about 10 seconds or 15 seconds. I'm talking about staying there till God breaks our heart. And those hot tears of joy. Tears are good, but them hot tears are the best tears. Amen. Ever cried any hot ones? I mean real hot. They get hot running down your face. And cry those tears of joy. And find our God one more time. And if we'll find Him, hey, if He'll find Him, He'll be in our midst. He'll be with us. And I'm going to tell you something. He's not far away. He's not far away. Can I read you this? I got to read this. God laid it on my heart, so I might as well read it to you. What Paul said to that crowd on Mars Hill. Chapter number 17 of the book of Acts. I believe it said Corinthians a while ago. It's Acts. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men, I'm in verse 22, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things that therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with hands, men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all men life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they may seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him. Hey, here it is. Though He be not far from all of us. Feel after Him. Faith. Find Him. You know why? He ain't far away.
Amen.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. I'm going to ask Miss Hall to come and sing that song for an invitation tonight. Just that's what I want song. You come right on, Miss Hall. Let's stand together.